Acts chapter 27 and verse number 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. All right, so he's going to mention here a lot of some people that went with them. He's going to mention here some different islands, some different cities that they went to. And he keeps talking about the wind because these were sailboats. These weren't just big cruise ships. These were sailboats. And so they were out on the Mediterranean Sea. And it depended on which direction the wind was going, where they would wind up going. So he's going to say, we wanted to go here, but the wind wouldn't allow it. So we went there. All right. So then if you look at verse number 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they'd obtained their purpose, loosing them, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Okay, so again, it's a horrible wind here. And so they're like, what are we going to do? So just let the wind carry the ship wherever it goes. Okay, verse 16, 17, they're having trouble. They're in fear. Verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day they lighten the ship, so they start throwing things out of the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Now note verse number 20 is what I would say is our text verse. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now I'm going to use this passage, and I'll read you more of it in a minute, but I'll cut a little bit out so we can get moving here. But so I do want to, on purpose this morning, I want to preach on this, why we must continue to have a bus and van ministry. Why we must continue as a church to have a bus and van ministry. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time together this morning? Thank you, Lord. Our hearts have already been moved by the bus riders singing to us and the good congregational singing and the video and Brother Miss Frazier and their singing and just them being with us. So, Lord, I pray now that you'll just remind us as a church family as we get ready in one more week to kind of wrap up this missions and bus emphasis month and make our commitments to support those areas of ministry. I pray that today you'll stir our heart this morning and tonight for the bus ministry, Lord, that all of us might be involved in some form or fashion. Use the message, I pray, this morning. And then, Lord, not only to challenge us in this area, but, Lord, to make us think this morning about what kind of home we have. What's going on in our home? Convict us this morning. Help us, I pray. We'll thank you for what you'll do. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated for nearly all of this church's 40 years of existence. We have our 40th anniversary service coming up in June. For nearly all of that, Dad will talk a little bit about it tonight. He was telling me a little bit earlier. But for nearly all of the 40 years of existence, we have had some sort of a bus or van ministry. Brother Glenn and Miss Darlene, the Andersons, they're in Florida today and for the next 9 or 10 days. And he called me. He called me Friday. He came by here and we were talking about the restroom remodels and all that. And he said, now we're going to Florida tomorrow. He's an executor for a lady that passed away. He's got to go settle some things with the family. And he said, now preacher, we may not be back next weekend because some folks there want to get together. And I said, man, you are retired. Do what you want, when you want, how you want. That is our dream, to live that way. So they're gone. But Brother Glenn used to drive a church van. Brother Glenn drove a church van that brought the Kettners in. And Brother Sean Kettner, as a little boy, I got a picture of him. He's just a little chubby little boy getting off that church van. Brother Glenn was sitting there in the driver's seat. The first bus we ever had was when Brother Greg and I were little kids. You say, how do you remember that? Because we got in trouble on that bus going to youth camp. We broke down on the way to youth camp, and we actually had to spend the night on the bus because they had to go get a part, and there was no way to do anything. And believe it or not, they made me go sleep on the front of the bus because apparently I was causing trouble at the back. So we've had a bus and or van for nearly all of the years of this church. Now, many souls have been saved through the bus ministry. Countless numbers of kids, as well as adults, have had the opportunity to attend church because of the bus ministry. Only eternity is going to reveal the actual reaping that has been done through the bus ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. You say, well, but someone makes a profession of faith, and even after that, maybe they get baptized, and then we never see them again. Well, do you want us to start judging your Christian life today? Do you want to start judging your salvation based on some of the moves that you and I make from time to time? Let's get them the gospel. Let's get them here. Let's see what God does in their life. And let's wait till we get to heaven to find out how things worked out. But we've got to keep a bus ministry. We've got to keep a van ministry. Is it expensive? Yes. Yes, our bus maintenance is horrible the last 2 years, and it cost us nearly $10,000 last year fixing buses. And Brother Greg emailed me the other day. He said, give me a call when you get a minute. I hate those emails because that means it's about to be more money. And he said, we have this bus out in Tyler, and he said, they can get it fixed. I told him a month ago, I said, let's have one bus that works well, and then let's get some vans. So we're doing that. He said, they've got it out there in Tyler. He says, $2,000 to fix once again. And I said, man, we got to get it done. Let's get it done. We're working on purchasing vans right now. We're in the process of looking at vans and deciding on a couple of vans and trying to be, you know, good stewards. But it's, you know, it's not, you know, an old bus van these days. Used to be, maybe if you had a few $1,000s, you could buy an old van to use for the bus ministry. Now it's $20,000 to buy, a used old van for bus ministry purposes. So we're in the middle of all of that transition right now. Is it expensive? Yes. Is it time consuming? For some, the bus workers, yes. Does it take a lot of effort and planning and work? Yes. Is it worth it? I still believe the answer is yes, that we keep, that we maintain some sort of a bus van ministry. One of the purposes in the van routes is to try to get some other people involved in that area of ministry. The town route right now has no females at all. Your wife, but I mean, she's pregnant, about to have a baby. No females at all. And I saw the visitation list last week, and it was all guys. There was not one female visiting that route. And I thought, man, if we could get a van, maybe a husband and wife or get on fire for God, just fill up the van, go to one area and be faithful to that every week. So it gives us more opportunity. I know some can't ride. I can't ride a bus. I get car sick within 5 minutes of being on a bus. But it gives us opportunity. Right? So we want to continue. So it's not just about giving this month. Maybe we can get some more people involved. What a fruitful ministry. All right, now in our text, Paul is being shipped to Rome, where he would be put into prison for the stand that he took for Christ. For interpretation's sake, they were crossing the Mediterranean Sea by sailboat. They were at the mercy of the wind and the sea. The journey grew dangerous and rough. The seas were stormy, and they thought they were going to die. So by the end of our text there in verse number 20, most of the people on that ship had lost hope. They thought, we are going to be sunk out here in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. It said, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So that is the interpretation. It's a great passage, but that's the interpretation of the verses that we read. By way of application today, I want us to use this passage for just a few minutes here to make a few observations and to remind us all why we must continue to have and to give towards our bus and van ministry. Okay? If you were here on Wednesday nights, we did the study through the Bible. We just finished that about a month ago. You remember that the human writer of the book of Acts is Luke. And so if you see the word we in there, that's Luke saying, I was with them. So he's with them on this journey. We'll focus on Luke and Paul. There were some others with them. But here's a picture I want you to see with me for a few minutes here. I want you to look at Luke and Paul as children, okay? I want you to look at it as if these are little children or teenagers getting on this boat, okay? With that in mind, we'll give you point number one is this. Now, I want you to look at verse number one. If you're going to try to write the points down, it's going to be tough because it's almost a paragraph. Number one is this, and I think we'd all agree. Kids have no input into the decision making processes that so greatly affect their present and their future. They're just along for the ride. Okay, that's a bus home, that's a drive-in home. But kids have no input into the decision-making processes that so greatly affect their present and their future. They're just along for the ride. I noticed that Luke and Paul here, they were just along for the ride. Look at verse 1. I'm going to read it quickly here. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. What I want you to see right here is the constant. They're here, then they're there, then they're here, then they're there. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. When we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, city of Lycia. There the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. When we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete and against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lacia. Okay, so Luke and Paul and these others, Luke is saying, you know, we were here and then we were there and guess what? Luke and Paul are on the boat. Paul's a prisoner, so they don't have any input. They're not being asked what you think. They're just going from here to here to here. Now they're trying to get to ultimately to Rome. But you see the picture there of kids have no input into the decision-making processes that so greatly affect their present and their future. They're just along for the ride. In other words, what you see there in those first 8 verses is constant change. Constant change. One thing in my home growing up, and one thing in our home as our kids have grown up now and become adults, one thing I appreciate is the fact that we tried to focus on not having constant change. I hate change. I hate change with a passion. I hate to switch cell phone companies. I hate to switch, you know, you name it. I wear ties that I wore 20 years ago. It's just me. I do not like change. It hurts you financially. It hurts your kids. It hurts in so many ways. Folks, listen to me. Kids need stability. How many times on a bus ride do you go and the kid, and the next thing you know, the house is empty. Now the family's moved across town. Kids need stability. They need the same parents in the home. Wouldn't hurt for them to live in the same home for a while. Maybe you make a move. We moved a couple of times in ministry, but I feel like my childhood was pretty stable. Kids need the same church. Kids need the same school. And I know, and we all know that there are times when things have to change. I get that, but can I encourage all the parents in here? Hey, have some stability in your home. But whether or not you do, kids have nothing to do with that. I have 18 and 22 year old, but I still to this day don't ask them what they think. But hey, guess what? We were thinking about remodeling the house. What do y'all think? They're not trying to put them down. They're adults. They're not kids. I'm a firm believer in when people get their high school diploma, start treating them like an adult. I think we got people in the church here that sometimes you have a problem with that. You can't see beyond little kids. I just think, man, once you've done your job and got through your school, man, they're adults. Do they have some growing up and some maturing? Yes, guess what? Where were you in 19, 20, 21? You know, I'm talking about as a parent, and I had to make that transition. I'm still bossy. It's still my house. I don't care if you're 40. You living in my house? Could I get a witness? But I still to this day don't ask them, what do y'all think about? Like, I ain't asking y'all. Me and mom will have this conversation. It's my house. It's my car. My cell phone. So all of us would agree in here. We're not putting our little kids down, you teenagers down. Parents don't care what you think. Having said that, we do serve in a generation today where some people are letting 5-year-olds tell them what to do. That's nuts. That's crazy. All right, so kids have no input into the decision-making processes that so greatly affect their life now and in the future. And you see that there. They're like, well, we were here, then we were there, then we were there. All right, number 2 is this. Got to move. And it kind of goes along with it. But number 2 is this. No one asks for a child's opinion on adult decisions. No one asks for a child's decision on adult decisions. Let me show you where I got that from if you're looking at Paul and Luke as kids here. Look at verse number 9. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them. All right, we're looking at them as kids right now. Paul admonished them. Shut up, kid. He said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Okay? Now again, we're talking about an application here, not an interpretation of what's going on in the story. But do you see the application? The kid speaks up. I don't want that for supper. We don't care what you want for supper. Okay? I don't want to go there. We didn't ask you where you wanted to go. Alright, so number one, kids have no input into the decision making processes. They just have to live with the decisions we as mom and dad make. No one asks for a child's opinion on adult decisions. Number three is this. Mom and dad, let this sink in. Children are directly affected by our decisions, good or bad. Children are directly affected by the decisions, good or bad, of the adults in their life. All right, so here's Paul and Luke and others, and they're saying, you know, we were here, then we went there, then we went here, then we went there. And Paul said, hey, maybe we could. And they said, we don't want to hear what you have to say. All right, so now Paul and Luke are going to be affected by these decisions. Look at verse number 12. I want you to notice the word we. Okay, they have nothing to do with it, but we're in the middle of this. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, no restrooms. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what that means. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had attained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. All right, so he's telling what the people that are in charge are doing. Verse 14, but not long after, there rose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Euroclydon, when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Now, Luke didn't have, it's already been proven that Luke and Paul had no say-so in this matter. But guess who's right in the middle of the storm created by the ones that made the decisions? Verse number 16, then. Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. See, they didn't have say-so where they were going. Nobody wanted their opinion, but yet when it was time to deal with the repercussions of the decisions that were made, guess who's right in the middle of it? Your kids! And guess who's right in the middle of it? Paul and Luke. And guess who's right in the middle of it? The bus riders. Brother Grice was with us last Sunday night. He's told you his testimony before. And you know, we got lost in the joke and the whatnot. But three different last names in his home. And what did he say? He didn't tell you this time, but he said it before. I've heard him tell this several times. He said, man, he said, when I was a kid, I just felt like we were always on a camp out. He said, I didn't know till I was older. It was that mom and dad didn't pay the rent. So it was time to run to here and live in this car and live in that tent and live in this park. And now we got this house and now there's another spouse and there's another spouse and there's another spouse. Hey, listen, none of us in here as adults, if we have any kind of backbone, any kind of parenting skills, we do not let little kids tell us how to run the home. But we better believe they're affected by the decisions that we make. How many children do you know of? Maybe you don't, but I guarantee I do as a pastor 22 years. I guarantee you my dad does as a pastor for 30 years, ministry over 40 years now. How many kids do we know of? Man, goodness gracious. Brother Trent's new into youth pastor the last couple of years, the Ormsor youth workers for a long time. that were on track for God, but a decision a parent made. A decision a parent made. It was, well, I'm going to tell you what, y'all always come back from camp with those dress standards. I'm just going to tell you that's not happening in our home. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you what, every time you come back from camp, you're like, oh, I think God's called me to this and God's called me to that. But listen, you need to have a plan B. You need to be able to take care of yourself. You need to this and you need to that. And the young person that had surrendered to the will of God for their life, a parent stood in the way. Or young people who are growing up and trying to live for God and go to Sunday school and read their Bible and trying to do the best they can. I mean, my goodness, why would we dangle our kids out over the top of this wicked old world today? Young people trying to do right, but there's a mom not doing right or a dad not doing right. Man, I'm trying to preach in the Spirit this morning, but you want to get me in the flesh? I hate what kids have to go through because of the decisions of parents. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 18:6, and the Lord repeated it in Mark, and the Lord repeated it in Luke. That's very important stuff that he made sure it was written three times. If you offend a little one, it's better for you that a millstone be wrapped around your neck and cast into the sea. And we see a lot of crazy sexual sins, sexual perversions. We are in a world and a nation headed for hell. I'm the type that believes that a child molester, it's not a second chance. You ought to be buried. I saw a video the other day where a dad went after somebody in court. I thought, man, I'm for forgiveness and that, but I'm going to tell you what, that would be me in a court right there being tackled. I don't care if they're giving him life. I don't care if they're giving him death. Man, I'd be the dad or the grandpa that I've just wanted one shot. Man, if you got any kind of man in you or even that motherly love that mother bearing, you know what I'm saying? If the moment ever came, God forbid, I don't know really what I'd do, but I know right now I'm going, man, that's exactly, I'd want my shot. Man, I hate that. And I'm going to tell you what, are we any better to be Christians? And God help us if we're the roadblock standing in the way of our kids doing the will of God. Woe unto us as parents. I want to say to all of us, make choices with your kids in mind. You may throw your life away, but how dare you be so selfish as to throw their life away? So, kids don't really get an opinion on things. We don't really have family votes. But everywhere we go, they go. Every decision we make affects them. Woe unto us. So I want to give you the last couple points here, and I know I've got to end quickly, but number four is this. Many children today are discouraged because of their home life and because the direction that they believe that their life is headed in. So the verse there is verse 20 again. And they said, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be taken away was then lost. Here's a sad state of the family today. Too many parents today lack basic nurturing skills. Basic nurturing skills. Either you have the militant parents. I've heard stories of that before. Well, our kid got in trouble and we wouldn't let him sit at the supper table with us for 30 days. That's a true story. He watched as the rest of the family ate. That's horrible. That's militant. Or you have children that are neglected. Or you have parents that are so immaturely stuck on self that their kids have to figure it all out for themselves. Basic love and care and help those young people. So the Bible says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Here's a report I got the other day. Maybe you saw it. CDC, the Center for Disease Control, reports 60% increase in high school girls seriously considering or planning suicide. In 10 years, this just came out this week, in 10 years it's jumped like that. 57% of high school females reported feeling sadness or hopelessness in 2021. A 58% increase from 36% in 2011. 30% of females seriously considered attempting suicide in 2021. An almost 60% increase from 19% in 2011. 24% of females made a suicide plan in 2021. When you made a plan, you need to find somebody immediately. Immediately. If you thought through how you're going to do it, adults, teenagers, you need to find someone immediately to talk to. But that's a 60% increase from 2011. Said mental health for teenagers across the board was bleak. And I have no doubt there are mental health issues, but I tell you what's even more wrong in this country is there's a spiritual health issue in this country. Overall, in 2021, 42% of high school students, 42% of high school students reported experiencing persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. 22% said that they seriously considered attempting suicide. 18% said that they had made a plan to commit suicide. Nearly one in every five in this survey had made a plan. All increases from 10 years ago. These trends were similar across race and gender lines. The summary was this. As we saw in the 10 years prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, mental health among students overall continues to worsen. With more than 40% of high school students feeling so sad or hopeless that they could not engage in their regular activities for at least 2 weeks during the previous year. A possible indication of the experience of depressive symptoms. We also saw significant increases in the percentage of youth who seriously considered suicide, made a suicide plan, and attempted suicide. According to the Centers for Disease Control, the U.S. had one death by suicide every 11 minutes in 2020, COVID year. The CDC further reported that adolescents feel less connected at school. Some studies have linked social media use to increased anxiety and depression among teenagers in recent years. Young lady committed suicide in the last couple of weeks because she was beat up on a school bus and people videoed it and put it online. Young people, there's never, ever, I don't know what you're going through. I know it can be tough. I know it can be the deepest, darkest valley. I know you can see no way out, but I promise you, God has you here for a purpose. If you're listening online and you're watching and God's got a hold of your heart, and I don't care how old you are, I don't care who you are here for a purpose until God chooses to call you home. There is help. There is hope. The doctor said, I think social media has a lot to do with this. Increased use of social media has taken a mental health toll on teens. And the executive said, the key is connectivity, parents being more involved, a lot of communication, after school activities, schools being more involved and so forth. Be concerned. It says that there's a lot of humiliation involved with all the social media stuff. And folks, listen, be involved in your children's life. Talk with your kids. You ought to know your kids well enough to know when they're not quiet and all of a sudden they are quiet and their countenance has. But hey, we're not going to know that if our face is stuck in a phone. Build a relationship. I believe it's better for homeschool kids because I went to public school. You guys that are in public school, I know exactly how public school works. You never tried this and you never did that and you're a wuss and you're a this and you're that. I know exactly how it works. And I'm telling you, stay faithful. When you get wrong, get right. But there's never a reason to give up. But folks, listen, Christian homes, Not a guarantee just because they're sitting in our house with their little pace and their pajamas that they are not going to have questions and discouragement and I don't understand this and I want to know about that. And it's so important. I thank God for the young couples in our church. Man, they seem that you seem to have such a great relationship with your little kids. Mom, be there. Dad, be there for your kids. Because, hey, if we just communicate, if we just have a good home life. And unfortunately, there's some kids just don't have that. So here's the last point. Our purpose in reaching young people is to tell them, be of good cheer. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. They said all hope was lost. And then guess what was said in verse 22? And now I exhort you, be of good cheer. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told unto me. We want young people to know there is hope. Why do we pay a youth pastor? Why do we pay a guy to be a youth pastor? Because those are critical years. And they need to hear from mom and dad, there's hope and we're going to walk with God and we're going to do right. And they come to church and hear the same thing from the Sunday school teacher, the same thing from the pulpit. How dare you as a parent hurt your children's future just because you fall in love with the world? Romans 15 and verse number 4 says this, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, we're trying to give kids to ride a bus or a van, and some of them have good parents, good families. They just want to come to church. That's great. But a lot, there's a lot of stuff going on, and we all know that. We want to give kids hope. We want to see them saved. We want to tell them, hey, in this rejoice not, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I'm sorry for what's going on at home. I'm sorry that you've never met your dad or never met your mom. Or I'm sorry mom and dad got a divorce. Or I'm sorry for the way things are. I'm sorry that your family member died. But God still has a plan for your life. And we want to see them saved. And we want to teach them the Bible. And we want to guide them with love. And we want to help them to find the will of God, the perfect will of God for their life. And we want to give them the words that Jesus gave when he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ, you might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Life is hard. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's why we must continue picking up boys and girls for church. That's why we as Christian parents must have a Christ-centered home. We must give our kids a good start in life in every way, but especially spiritually. I just want to remind all of us as a church, as we get ready to commit to giving our hard-earned money to bus ministry, that Matthew 10:42 says, whoso giveth one of these little ones a cup of cold water in my name shall in no wise lose their rewards. So it's rewarding to see people saved and baptized. They come and go. We know there's a lot of turnover in the bus ministry. I get that. That's wonderful. But what if there's just that bit of hope put into their life and then they move away 10 states away? You never know what God's going to do. But nevertheless, it didn't say whether or not they drank the water. It said that we gave them a fighting chance. Still believe in the bus ministry. Maybe we wind up with all vans because less people are riding buses. We want to be right about that. We want to be good stewards. I'd have 10 buses if we could fill them all up. But whatever it is, we have to do something. I hope you'll give. Maybe you're here today, you don't know the Lord as Savior, and I haven't necessarily preached on that, but that is the hope we're talking about. Whether you're a young person, whether you're an adult, maybe you need to be saved. Maybe that's the void in your life that you've been missing. Maybe not. Maybe as parents, we just come today and say, Lord, help us to do right, because it's different at all different ages. Help us to do right and stay faithful. I still need to stay right because of my adult kids. My parents need to stay right to the day the Lord calls them home, because they've got boys and they've got 9 grandkids that need to see. You don't just quit down the road. You stay faithful to Christ until He calls you home. Let's be faithful.